Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. What an amazing friend you are. You are our Father, which art in heaven, and you are in the earth realm as well. We appreciate you, Lord God. We thank you, Lord God, that you came on the radio before us and that it's a new month, a new thing. Yep, September the 1st, 2021, new month, new things. We are depending upon you for new life, new health, new strength, new everything, new inside out in the name of Jesus, new, hallelujah, in our thinking, in our way of doing things, following after you. We thank you today, Lord God. You, oh God, have kept us thus far. Lord, there's so many things going on in the world, even on September the 1st, 2021. But your abiding love, your mercy, your grace, your great favor is keeping us every day. So we thank you right now in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Lord God, for everything that you're about to do. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you for what you're doing, what you've done, and what you're about to do. We give you glory, praise, and thanksgiving. We thank you, Lord God, for all that you're doing. Oh, you're doing amazing things. Lord, we thank you today. Oh, thank you today, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, for all that you've done, in the mighty name of Jesus. Oh, God, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We honor you. And we say hallelujah to the Most High God. Hallelujah to our Father, our friend, our Lord, our Savior. You are the one true and living God that we can count on in the name of Jesus. You are the one true and living Father. Thank you today, Father. We appreciate you, Lord God. We just honor you right now. We thank you that you are King, you are Lord, you are God. Truly, there's no God great like you, Jehovah. And Lord, we are lifting up people all over the world who are going through different things. Seem like one thing right after the other. The news is filled with horror in the name of Jesus. But we, oh God, your children are depending upon you. Your news is filled with good things. The good things, the new things are here right now, September the 1st, 2021, new things. And we receive the new things in Jesus' name. We are so grateful, Lord God, that, oh God, we were off for a while, but now you allowed us to come back on the air after a season of rest, relaxation in you, being in your almighty palm. We just give you praise. We just give you thanks. And we thank you, Lord. Lord, we just lift up those who are affected by Hurricane Ida. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, that the torrential rains and the wind and things that came in, Lord God, even the electricity has been cut off, oh, God. They're not able to have any air, and it's hot, and the atmosphere is filled with all kind of debris and poisonous stuff in the air, all kind of chemical things in the air that no one should breathe. Many people have had to leave their homes, their comfort places, because they don't have any even running water or electricity or no way to cook their food or they're in the dark, oh God. But, Lord, send the light. You are the light that they need. And so we thank you, Lord God, for healing those. Many people are in the hospitals, Lord. We thank you for electricity and things that they need in the hospitals, Lord. We thank you for the doctors and the nurses, some of them who are working overtime to make sure the patients are safe. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, for the electricity in the hospital. We thank you for everything that they need, the utensils sterilized, and everybody, you know, being able to handle the emergencies that's coming up, that has come up, oh God. We thank you, Lord God, for being in the nursing homes and in the homes with the elderly where, Lord, they're there. They don't have transportation to get out. They don't have money to fly out of there, to catch a bus or a ship out of there, Lord God. So, Father, we thank you that you are omnipresent. You are there with them in New Orleans, those who are not able to leave. You are with those who are on the road. We pray for Glory Dean and her family who called me, who said they're on the road, headed towards Florida. So give them a safety there, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, many people are having problems breathing because they don't have enough air, in the name of Jesus. But, Father, you're able to provide in spite of the circumstances, and we give you glory. We give you praise, and we give you thanks. We thank you for Wednesday midweek Bible study. We thank you that you came on before us, oh God, and that you are with us. You won't leave us. You won't forsake us. You're going to be right with them, all those who were affected by Hurricane Ida, all those surrounding cities in Louisiana. And we say thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for what you've done already. Oh, yeah, we give you praise. We give you thanks. We thank you, Lord God, because if it had not been for you on all of our side, Lord, we don't know where we would be. But because of you, your mercy, your grace, your great favor, we're able to overcome situations that we face, situations that come up, Lord God, situations that we sometimes feel paralyzed that happen. But we're able to move and have our well-being because of you. Oh, God, I thank you for removing the spirit of terror, the spirit of terror from people that found themselves in Hurricane Ida, even people that were just passing through the city. We thank you for removing any demonic debris, any demonic blocks and hindrances to that city, to that area in Louisiana. We cover every one of them with the blood of Jesus. And we lift up not only Glory Dean, Vivian, and others who are out of town because they needed a safe place to stay. And we just thank you, Father. We bless you and we honor you. We thank you for what you've done and what you're about to do for all of us and them as well. Amen.
The word,
The Lord's Spirit is getting in us. And, you know, those dark places is getting light in there. And the light dispels the darkness in us. Yeah, no good thing can come from our flesh. We got to walk by the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. So I thank God that we are walking in the Spirit today. Yeah, we got to walk in the Spirit. We got to, you know, stay connected. We can't disconnect from the Father. We got to stay connected, reading His Word, studying His Word, spending time in His presence. That's what keeps us connected. It's not, you know, us just saying, Father, oh, we love you, Lord. Uh-uh. We got to be in the Word. The Word keeps us connected. The Word, it's the inspired Word of God. And that Word keeps us, you know, with that vertical connection. And the Word tells us, it gives us instructions. How else are we going to know how to live down here without instructions? We need instructions daily. I don't know about you, but I need guidance every day. I'm like, Lord, I don't know what to do when I wake up. I know I have, you know, a plan, a vision before me, but I need God to lead me even in the vision. So I thank God for each of you all. I missed each one of you all. I thank God for you all. I thank God for our divine connection. You know the Lord loves us so much. Oh, my God. Whew, we can't even begin to put in words the love the Father has for us, that kind of love that no human being can have for another human being, even though we love each other. God's love surpasses all human love. And so we are grateful that the Father chose us. You know He chose you. He chose you to be His very elect child. You wouldn't be a part of His kingdom if He hadn't chosen you. You think you could just choose yourself and say, oh, yeah, I'm going to be a part. Uh-uh. God chose you. And guess what? He didn't just choose you when you were born. He chose you before the foundations of the earth. Isn't He good? He's good now. He's so awesome. I just love the Lord. But, you know, He loves me more than I have the capacity to love myself. He's teaching me how to love Him, how to love others, how to love myself. You know, He's the master teacher. You know, when Jesus walked the earth, He taught people things through parables. You know, they thought, oh, my God, you know, who is He? Who is He? He was the anointed one. He was the one who was so connected to the Father. Yeah, when He walked the earth, He said, no, no, no. The words I speak are not my words. They came from the Father. And, you know, we're supposed to be like Jesus, speak the words that came from the Father. We're supposed to speak our own words. My words get me in trouble. So I thank God. You know, I don't know. But I thank God for you all. Well, we have Sister Lanny on with us from Mississippi. Thank God. Hurricane Ida didn't go her way. And we thank God that she's on with us. She's going to sing and play a song of praises, however the Lord lead her. Good afternoon, Sister Lanny. How you doing?
Doing fine. God bless you. God bless everyone. Praise God. First Sunday is usually Communion Sunday, and this is a song that my dad would love to hear, and I'm going to sing that for us this morning. Oh,
on the cross. I know it was the blood, saved by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But he never said a marvelous word. He didn't complain. He didn't complain at all. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. One day, when I was alone, he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood, saved by the blood of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Before he hung his head and died, before we hung his head and died, he said it's finished. I've completed my job. Now it's your time. Open your heart and accept the Lord. For he died upon the cross. I know it was the blood. Save you and me. One more thing is coming. Back again. He's coming back again.
Who am I going to tell? What am Moses could not fathom the plans that God had for him, but you probably can't fathom the plans God has for you. Can you imagine Martin Luther King? He was born to die for a race of people, and Mahatma Gandhi, can you imagine these great people like Mother Teresa? She had people dying her hands. You know, if we knew the plans that God had for us, we'd be running. We're like, no, Lord, not me. Yes, he has great plans. I'm talking to you. I ain't just talking to some people. I'm talking to you, you, and you. God has great plans. But you know what? We have to stay connected to him to find out the plan. If we don't stay connected to Father God, we can't get the plan. We're going to miss the plan. So we say, Father, help us. You write the vision. As we begin to get paper and pen and write the vision, let God write it for you. And don't be amazed now. Don't be shocked. Don't be in shock. Because he has a great plan. He said, I know the plans I have for you. They're not evil plans. You know, the devil got evil plans for you. But he said they're a good plan to give you a great future and a great hope. I'm God. I know what you can do. I know what I put inside of you before you left the earth. I put great things in you before you left the earth. So today, I thank God for each of you. We're in the book of Exodus. You know, this past year, it took us a little bit over a year to complete Genesis. Genesis was, you know, the beginning is one of the books of the law. And I don't know about you, but I learned things. I'm like, what? I didn't even know that was in the Bible. Lord, you just put that in there? Nope. He put it in there when the Bible was written. He put it in there, but I was discovering new. Now we're in Exodus. Oh, my God. So we're ready to do the homework. Get your homework. You know you need your Bible, too. You need your Bible. You need the homework. So God is, he's able. He's able to do. All right, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to do a couple of things here. Who could tell me how many parts? This is Bible review. How many parts are there in the Bible? You know how we do it. We state our name and we give the answer. State your name and you give the answer. So how many parts does the Bible have?
Hello? Two parts, Sister Lady, the Old and the New Testament.
All right, the Old and the New Testament. Okay, good. So who can tell me how many books are there in the Old Testament? State your name. Give the answer. Everybody on here already know already. This is just review. Hello? How many books in? Y'all counting? You got the table of contents. Y'all counting how many books? It's going to take us so long. Hello.
Hi. Come on, Sister 9.
All right. Thank you, Sister T. Thank you, Sister Talana. 39. Now, how many books are there in the New Testament? State your name. State it. How many in the New? We got 39.
There.
Brother.
Okay,
Brother Brian.
Go ahead.
27.
27. Good job.
Whoa.
I don't know. I heard Sister Mary, but I didn't give the answer.
I was,
27.
Sister Mary was wrong, but okay.
Oh, well, we found out some information today. Good job. All right. So you count those 39 and 27. You know, we got mathematicians on here. So how many in the whole Bible?
Mary, 66.
Oh, my God. Hey, she can add, y'all. She can add.
No.
So thank God for you. Now, this is what I want. The first person who finds Jeremiah 29:11, state your name and read it. Jeremiah 29:11. Don't matter which version you use, just read it. Jeremiah 29:11.
I can't find it because I'm driving, but this is Talana for I know the thoughts that I have.
Hey, don't give it. Don't give
Lord.
It. Don't.
Okay.
Sister Talana.
Okay, sorry.
Don't
okay.
give it.
Okay, sorry.
Sister Talana. Sister Talana. Do not give it.
Yes.
We got to read it. Thank you. I know you know it. Everybody on here knows Jeremiah 29:11. But we got to read it. Somebody's in the station. Thank you, Sister Talana, but we got to read it.
Sister Marion.
Okay.
Well, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, said the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end.
Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Amen. All right. Anybody else got it in a different version? I think she read it from the King James.
Okay.
Anybody else? Different version. Come on. All the lines are open. Everybody can participate. All the lines are open.
Sister
Talana, I love you, but I don't want you driving and talking, trying to find the script. No, we want you to be safe. Anybody finding the difference yet?
I have.
Jeremiah 29:11.
This is the lady, the New International Version say, for I know the plans I have for you, declared the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future.
Amen.
I also have the American Standard Version, for I know the thoughts that I take toward you, faith, Jehovah, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you hope in your latter end.
Woo! Didn't I tell you he has better plans for us than we have for ourselves? But we make excuses. We go like, you know, but Lord, you know, I got this little mole right here, and that mole is stopping me. Or Lord, you know, my brain ain't functioning that prop. I don't think I could do it. You know how Moses did. So God said, okay, I'm going to send your brother, Aaron. He older than you, and he going to speak for you. He don't have whatever you say has got going on with you. I made you perfect. So, okay.
Oh,
all right, one more scripture. One more scripture, scripture search. And, you know, find it in different versions, don't matter. Joshua 1:8. First one, find it, state your name and read it. Joshua 1:8. Joshua 1:8. You know, most of us know it by heart, but I want to read it. Brother Brian, you got it.
Give me just a second, sister. You still swiping.
All right, go ahead. Whoever gets it
Joshua
first, read it.
Joshua 1:8. It says that the book of this law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Good success. Hey. Amen. Anybody else got a different version? That's great. Thank you. Hello?
Okay. Is that King James Version?
I know, it doesn't matter. Just go ahead and read it.
Okay. Joshua 1:8, the book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success.
Amen, amen. Isn't God
amen.
Good? He said, all we do is read the word, The other thing we got to do is meditate on it. And you know, while I'm on Facebook or while I could be meditating on the word, I got to learn how to get out the social media and meditate on the word. Because, you know, that social media, they can't do nothing for me. They just be giving me info. And it ain't info God necessarily want me to have. God wants me to have the info that he wants to put in my mind. So I got to read the word, study the word. I'm sorry, did someone say something to me? I didn't hear you. I mean, I heard somebody talking. All right, you already know if you got your radio on, it's going to be picked up on the radio, so turn your, put your phone on mute if you want to listen to the radio, but I pray you listen to the Bible study. Thank God for you, you, and you. Okay, homework time. I know y'all love this. This is one of my favorite homework assignments. I was like, whoo, every day, listening to the word, every day, in the word, in the word. Exodus chapter 1 and 2. So we got Sister Mary. She has Exodus 1, verses 1 through 6. So you could summarize. You know, take 2 minutes, because we got other people got to do their summaries as well. Sister Mary, ready?
Okay. I have got my different Bibles here and turned from where I was. I gotta get back to that. Okay.
Did you get your notes?
Yeah. This is an exciting book just because it explains for today why there is a war against children, birth, and family, because of what God did in the family of Jacob. Now, these are the names of the children of Israel, which came into Egypt. Every man and his household came with Jacob, and there was Reuben, Simeon, Levi, and Judah, Issachar, Zebulun, Benjamin, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, and Asher. And all of the souls that came out of the loins of Jacob were 70 souls. For Joseph was already in Egypt. Now, when Joseph died, and then all of his children died, all of his brethren died, and that entire generation that came through Jacob and Joseph died. So that's summary.
All right. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Mary. All right, Sister Glory Dean is not here. We're going to call on Brother Brian. She's traveling on the road, coming out of the New Orleans area where Hurricane Ida hit. Go ahead. Brother Brian.
Yes, ma'am. So do you want me to summarize? I'm still summarizing 13 through 17, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so with this verse, we have a lot going on. it's a ton to go on. It's a lot to sum up, actually. So what happened was the Egyptians started to work Israel with rigor, and basically they were building. They did brick and mortar during those times, so they had to physically make the brick and make the mortar to build the structures and all that were present in Egypt. And then in the midst of all of those things, Pharaoh had issued a decree to all of the midwives to kill the sons that were born during that time. And even at the end of that, although he gave them the command, the midwives did not hear them kill their sons out of the fear of God, because they knew that they had to keep them all alive.
Yep.
And that's it. Actually.
That's it?
That's it.
Oh, okay. Y'all got to let me know when y'all through.
Sorry.
All right. Thank you, Brother Frank. Okay.
Yes,
okay.
Ma'am.
Okay.
Sister G.
Yes.
Can I finish? I was doing 1 through 6, but 7 through 10 completes it. That as there were the children of Israel multiply, and exactly what the Lord said, go forth and multiply, and they did. They multiplied to the point where the Egyptians were getting worried, and this section kind of gives the conversation in their heads and in their heart about the children of Israel. They are multiplying so fast that they're going to be mightier than we are someday. And so then they came up with the idea about dealing, as they called wisdom, dealing wisely with the children of Israel. And it is exactly the opposite of wisdom. Yeah. That was 7 to 11?
7 to 12. Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. We got Sister Rhonda, my cousin.
Yes,
she's got Exodus 8:18-22. Go ahead.
Yes, ma'am. This story about the king of Egypt, once again, he forgot about who was over this generation of people. And with this being said, he called for the midwives and he asked them, why did you do this thing? Why didn't you kill the boys? Whew, that's a hard way to go. Because I look at today and I see the men are being shot down, been bruised, been...
Yeah.
Everything, still now, they are being hurt and reduced to nothing. And I'm like, God, this has been a battle since day one. The midwives said to him, you know, the women are so strong. These Egyptian women are so strong. By the time we get to them, they already had the baby. So we don't, you know, there was no need for them. And they feared, but the one thing about the midwives, they feared God so much that they would not do the decree that the king had put out on the Hebrew boys. This, I learned, the women, the Hebrew women, you know, they sell their children into the Nile, but we have a saying now that a Nile is just not the river. Is denial, and people are in denial that there has been genocide against men, children, since day one. And to God be the glory, we are still here in spite of everything that the enemy throws at us and at the people that are going through struggles. This is where my story ends.
Wow.
Amen.
Thank you, Rhonda. Mm-hmm. Amen, amen, amen. Hold on, let's see if this lady wants to connect. Okay, so, Sister Miriam, you have
1 through 7. I have 1 through 7.
Oh, yeah, chapter 2.
Chapter 2, 1 through 7.
Oh. Oh, okay. Yeah. Sorry about that. I didn't...
Okay, and there went a man out of the house of Levi, and he took a wife, a daughter of Levi. And the woman conceived and had a son. She tried to hide the baby because of the order of Pharaoh to kill all the boys. She tried to hide the baby boy as long as she could. And when she couldn't hide him anymore, she built an ark, put him in an ark with some bulrush, dabbed it with lime and with pinch, and she put... laid flags over them by the river bank. When the sister stood afar off to witness what would be done to him, and the daughter of Pharaoh came down to wash herself at the river, her maidens walked along the rivers, and that's when they saw the ark among the flags. She sent her maid to fetch it, and when she had opened it, she saw it was a child, and behold, the baby started to cry. And she had compassion on the baby and said, this is one of the Hebrew children. And then said his sister to Pharaoh's daughter, shall I go and call a nurse of the Hebrew women that she may nurse the child of thee? That was 1-7.
Okay. All right. So thank you. So, you know, as we see, the next two people, I'm going to go ahead and do theirs for them. Exodus 2:8-18, it talks about, starting in verse 8, Pharaoh's daughter, she called for, she said, listen, you know, this is a beautiful baby. I know this is the Hebrew's child, you know, because he was probably wrapped in Hebrew material. So she knew that. So she said, listen, I'm not nursing. I don't have no milk in my breast. So I want you to go and get the baby's mother. Now, how many mothers are getting paid for nursing their own baby? So
I love
Mary
it.
Went and got the mother. I'm sorry. Yes. What did you say?
No, I'm just saying. I
I'm
love
sorry,
it.
What you saying?
My favorite.
Okay. Okay. I'm sorry. I forgot my thought. Hold on 1 second. So Marion went and got the mother, who was Moses' mother. Now, Moses' mother had given him another name. I looked it up. You all can look it up. He had a different name. But Pharaoh's daughter gave him the name Moses because she said, I got him out the Nile, the water. Now, as I give the message, you'll understand more about how this story unfolds. But like I told you all earlier, God has a plan for all of our lives, and he had a plan for Moses. Moses' mother was very, very intelligent, and she knew what to do. She hid Moses for a few months, and then she took him back to Pharaoh's daughter after he was weaned off of her breast. So you know how the story goes. We'll go ahead and go into that more when I give the message. But I'm going to move on to Sister Lanny for the sake of time. So go ahead, Sister Lanny. She had Exodus 2:19.
Yes, ma'am. The daughters of the prince of Midian, his name was Reuel. I had three put his girls down to get water, and when they were there to do it, they were pushed aside, so to speak. And Moses came along, and he did three things. He delivered them from the hand of the shepherd. He drew water for them, and he watered the flock. And they went home to tell their dad what happened, and he asked them, why did you leave him? Go back and get him and invite him to come and eat with us. And as a result of that relationship, he took Moses in and gave his daughter Zipporah in marriage to him. In the marriage, she birthed a son, and they called him Gershom. And that word means stranger, sojourner, foreigner in a foreign land. They were nurturing a relationship there. That was what was happening with the children of Israel. They were still in bondage. They were still being mistreated. But after a time, the evil king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel were relieved that he died, but he had them under a hard burden of slavery. They remembered their God, which is typical of us. When we're in trouble, we'll cry out to the Lord. We usually get in a place because of our disobedience, but every time we cry to him, God has compassion. God, they cried out to God, and God, who is faithful, remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he took notice to their issues. In other words, God was getting ready to do something in their behalf. That's it.
Amen. Thank you so much. I love those two chapters. So, you know, next week our homework is going to be Exodus chapter 3 and chapter 4. So read the chapter. And when I send your homework, just write out a little summary, about 5 sentences. You don't have to read the scriptures because we're all reading them. But just write out a little summary, 4 or 5 scriptures about what they're talking about. And just share that with us next week. We're going to be praying for those who are in Hurricane Ida again. You know, I was in Hurricane Katrina, and, you know, I just thank God that he is a keeper. And, I mean, I waded in water up to my chest almost, but God saved me, put me out my house ahead of time. And, you know, God is a deliverer. I don't care what situation his children are in, he's able to deliver us out of those situations. So he has a plan. He knows those people are there without electricity. But, you know, warnings come before destruction. He keeps warning people in New Orleans, warning them. This is the second, or I don't know how many hurricanes have come through there. I have a friend that is a fireman, and he said, Caritha, you know, Hurricane Katrina came, but that's not the one we're expecting to do real damage to New Orleans. He said, we're expecting a 15-foot hurricane to overtake New Orleans. Now, that was 205, he told me that, or 206, somewhere there. So I'm telling you, God keeps warning. What? You know, warning comes before destruction. Why does he warn people? He'll tell you. You know, he's so merciful. He will tell you, listen, I don't want you doing these abominations no more. You're committing abominations against me. Every time you kill a baby, that's an abomination. Every time you have LTGB, the gay lesbian, every time you having these big festivals and celebrating these people, that's abomination to me. Every time you are murdering children, every time you kidnapping children, every time you worshiping false gods, that's abomination to me. So I'm tired of it. So he keeps warning us. He keeps warning us, and we don't want to listen. We want to do our own thing. Whatever we want to do, we want to do it. We don't care if it's sin. We like those people during the time of Pharaoh. God was one. So he sent Moses. He said, listen. And Moses didn't want to do it. He said, who am I going to tell Pharaoh sent me? He said, tell him I am. So today, I am is sending warning to people. All, it's not just in New Orleans, Afghanistan, all over the world. He's sending warning. All these pandemics, he's sending warning. He's letting us know, listen, I'm giving you fair warning, but you got to listen. So Exodus 2, chapter 1 and chapter 2, God sends, you know, he had this plan for Moses, and, you know, they were killing the Pharaoh. This was a different Pharaoh than when Joseph was there. And so he told him, he said, listen, so those two midwives, you read the story. We had about 3-4 weeks to read this because we were off a couple of weeks. So we had time to read. You know, some of us, like I was when I was in college, we got the test the next day, and we cramming all night trying to get it in. But, you know, you enjoy it when you read it, and you just absorb it like a good meal. And this is a spiritual meal. We get to absorb it. We get to, you know, to look it over. And so during this time, you know, the title of my message is Let's Save Our Babies from Destruction. They are a part of God's kingdom too. Exodus 2, 1 through, Exodus chapter 2, 1, chapter 2, it's where Moses was instructed by God to go back to Pharaoh. And then in chapter 1, he told those midwives, look here, I have a plan for all babies, not just the girls. I want the boys saved too, so they obey God rather than man. You know, man said, we got to do this and we got to do that, and we, who are you going to obey? The word of the Lord says that, you know, he sends us the word. Who are we going to obey, man or God? Who are we going to obey, man or God? And you know what? It's a lot of fear out right now. Fear spirit is going all over the earth. Oh, my God. They say this pandemic is worse than the other. They say that this coronavirus is worse than the other. They're saying we got to get this shot, and then they give you that shot. No, we got to get two more. No, we got to get another. How many shots we got to take? Whose report will we believe? If you keep listening to the devil's report, you're going to follow the devil. If you listen to God's report, you're going to follow him. Whose report are we going to believe? God has medicine for us. Whose medicine are we taking? Now, you know, when Moses, during the time of Moses, Moses' mother was a praying woman like Hannah. And, you know, before that, remember Sarah? Sarah conceived and bore Abraham. So we're talking about conception here. Conception. God wants the baby saved. He wants them to be born. They are part of God's kingdom too. You know, Matthew 19:14 said, don't stop the children from coming to me. Let the children come. They are part of the kingdom too. They got work to do. They can roll up their sleeves. Yeah, they can pray. Yeah, they can help serve communion. They can pick up the offering. Yeah, many children can bring a message. You know, the mouths of babies is full of wisdom. We go like, how do they know that? So conception is the action concealed of conceiving. I'm sorry, the action of conceiving a child, becoming pregnant with child. So Genesis 30:23 says, and she conceived and bare a son. God has taken away my reproach. My reproach. You know, that was like Sarah. She was, you know, feeling bad because, you know, other women having these babies and she didn't have one. So in Judges 13:5, for thou shalt conceive and bear a son, and no razor, you know who this one is, shall come upon his head. For he's a child of a Nazarite unto God from the womb. And he shall deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, you know who that is, Samuel. 1 Samuel 1:20, wherefore it came to pass when the time was come after Hannah had conceived, his name was Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. So Hannah, you know, she wasn't getting pregnant, and she wanted to have a child. That was important during that time, that women, and they were following God's law. He said, be fruitful and multiply. Matthew 1:18, now the birth of Jesus Christ was this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she found herself pregnant with the child of the Holy Ghost. And we haven't heard of that since. Mary was conceived by the Holy Ghost. She conceived by the Holy Ghost. We have not heard of that since. Some people have claimed that they got pregnant by the Holy Ghost, but that's not true. Mary did. So what is infanticide? Infanticide. It means the crime of killing a child within a year of birth. So this is what Pharaoh said. He was trying to kill those baby boys within a year. Right after they were born, he's trying to get the midwives to kill those babies. Now, what is abortion? That's different from infanticide. Abortion is the termination of pregnancy by the removal or expulsion of an embryo or a fetus in the womb of an expecting mother. In Exodus 1:16, the midwives of the Hebrew women were ordered by the king Pharaoh to kill the baby boys only. But they were smart. They said, oh, no, we fear God. We're not going to do that. And they didn't do it. Like I told you, infanticide is you murder the children within a year or two after they're born. But we're murdering babies now, which is called abortion. We're murdering babies. If you go in certain cities, certain areas of your city, you'll see people going to the abortion clinic, black people, white people, and they have doctors that are going there to murder innocent babies. Babies can't cry, can't talk for themselves. Even these babies during the time of Moses, they can't talk for themselves. So in Exodus, this begins one of the greatest stories in the Bible, the birth of Moses. And when you read about the lives of the great men and women of the Bible, each one of them were given a purpose. God put, even in us, he put a purpose on the inside of us before he shaped us in our mother's belly. You know, when you read in 139, it talks about how he formed us and he knew us before he shaped us in our mother's belly. So in Exodus chapter 2, remember the message title is, Let's Save Our Babies from Destruction. They are part of the kingdom too. Each child, and I'm telling you, every child that God birthed into this world has a purpose on the inside of them. Every child has a purpose on the inside of them. Not just some children. God didn't say, okay, you can murder this one, I don't want them. No. He said, every child that he birthed into this world, he put a purpose. You too, you have a great purpose on the inside of you from Father God. God don't make no mistakes. He doesn't make any mistakes. The children you birthed, the children they birthed, those children had purposes. The children that the mothers now all over the world that are in labor, that are pushing out the baby, they have a purpose. Now, Psalms 139, beginning at verse 15, it says, My bones were not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, when I was being skillfully woven in the underground workshop. Your eyes saw me when I was only a fetus. Every day my life was recorded in your book before one of them had taken place. How precious are your thoughts concerning me, O God? How vast are the number of them? So God know what he's doing before the foundations of the earth. You were in his plan. Your children, your grandchildren, the ones that will be born, they're in his plan. So God thinks great thoughts of us. We sometimes, you know, we put ourselves down. We don't always have great thoughts. Oh, you know, I ain't, you know, this, and I was born without, oh, woe is me. But, you know, Moses' father was of the Levi tribe, and so was his mother. And the couple came together. Now, when you read Exodus 2, you would think Moses is the oldest child, but he was not, because of the way they said it, that this Levi man and his wife came together, and they had a baby boy, and Pharaoh's daughter named him Moses. No, Aaron and Miriam was older. Don't you remember Miriam took Moses down to the river and watched Pharaoh's daughter bathing, and then she heard him cry, and she went out there and got him. So we got to remember to teach our daughters, teach our sons, listen, it's not okay for you to go out there and have sex with all these girls and get them pregnant and then say, I don't want that baby. That's not mine. I got to say, no, we can't do that. We got to teach our sons and daughters, whether they want to hear it or not, our grandchildren, our spiritual children. I don't care if they want to hear it or not. We got to tell them. God has a plan for that baby in your belly. God has a plan for her baby and that baby and the other baby in your belly. So God, you know, Moses' mother was clever. She hid her sons. And she wasn't just clever. She was a woman of wisdom. And you know she didn't think of that on her own to hide her child. God ordered steps. God ordered the steps of a righteous person. So God ordered her steps to save her baby. He helped her hide that baby for 3 months. Don't you know the soldiers were probably checking in the neighborhood and And she knew how to hide him and how to quiet him from crying when they came to check and where to put him and all of those things. And she knew the time that Pharaoh's daughter was going to come down there. She said, okay, Miriam, you go take your brother down there by the ocean. And so she obeyed her mother. How many sons and daughters disobey their parents? I know you said take him down there, but I was scared. I had to take him over there. I had to take him to an Miriam was an obedient daughter, and she obeyed her mother. She did what her mother told her to do. So in our story today, can you imagine the stress, the turmoil that Moses' mother was under? That, you know, she probably was going through an enormous amount of stress, but she had great faith. When I tell you her faith was great, she had a great amount of faith. She trusted in God that this son that you birthed through me, I knew you were going to keep him. Now, you know, he was of another nationality from Pharaoh, but she trusted him that even though he went in the enemy's camp, she got on her knees. She knew neology now. She trusted her son to go in the enemy's camp and still be safe. Can you imagine she holding him and breastfeeding him, and she's instilling God in him, like Hannah instilled God in Samuel? How many of us today are, and how many young women are saying, God loves your baby? I want to tell you the story about a baby called Moses. I want to tell you about a story about a baby called Samuel. How many young women are telling? I was at the park the other day, and I screamed. I'm walking behind these young women, and one of them, she cussing them out. You get your son, 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 son. I said, ah! And they said, what's the matter? I went over and I told them, I said, you know what? Do not cuss your children. Bless your child. Don't cuss that baby no more. Oh, yes, ma'am. And then they went on. They didn't want to hear it. But I told them anyway. They may not want to hear it, but I don't want God saying, listen, I told you to tell the younger women as an older woman how to love their husbands, how to love their babies, how to raise their children, how not to gossip, how to mind their own business, how to take care of their households, how to clean up, how to cook, how to cook, how to cook. What young women cooking today? No. Taking them to McDonald's. Here. Peanut butter jelly sandwich. Hot dog. Here. No. I get very angry when I, you know, when I think about these things, because I thank God for my mother and my father. They got in the kitchen and they cooked good meals for us. My mother had a garden in the back. What young woman? No, they don't have time. You know why? Because they're on Facebook. They're going to get them nails done. They're going to get their hair done. They say, I don't have money to buy. No, they got money. Spending on themselves. I rebuke a selfish spirit, a spirit that's cussing their babies. That spirit got on them because they were probably cussed out by their mamas and their grandmamas. So we got to be careful about what you instill. Just like they're cussing them, they could be instilling, you are a great child. God created you. I love you. You are a mighty man of God. You are a mighty woman of God. You are a mighty child of God. You are a mighty baby of God. And Proverbs 22:6 says, train them up in the way that they should go. So when they get older, they won't depart from it. So you know the story when Moses killed the Egyptians, and then they found out he did it. He ran because Pharaoh tried to kill him. Pharaoh wanted to kill him, so he ran to a Midian. He didn't know about Midian. He over there in Midian. And Pharaoh was looking for him, but he couldn't find him. So he went over there, and he helped these women at the well. He helped them get the sheep. And when they got back to their daddy, they said, listen, the father said, why are y'all here early? He said, we met a man out there, and he helped us. He said, go invite the man. You know, use your manner. Go over there and invite the man to come and eat with us. But they did. And, you know, Moses, he was a good man. They loved Moses. So the man says, okay, I want you to marry my daughter. And he married their daughter, and he, you know, they had a child. And you know the story. You know, you were supposed to read the story, too, just like me. So don't forget, next week, Exodus chapter 3 and 4, read the story. If you read it over and over and over and over, it get in your spirit. And so you can know what's happening. So when you come on to summarize, you'll say, oh, yeah, I don't need to read the scripture. I already read it you know, however many times from Wednesday to Wednesday. I read it. So you know the story. Let it get in your spirit. So anyway, after Moses married her, one day Moses was out tending the sheep. And several times he had seen this bush up there on the mountain burning. And he said, it ain't even burning up. And, you know, he got his curiosity. You know how we are. All human beings are pretty curious. Sometimes we're curious about the wrong thing. So his purpose was beginning to come forth. So he got curious. He went up there to the mountain. And when he got up there, oh, God spoke through the burning bush. Oh, my God. Isn't God awesome? Now, look here. He can speak to you through your TV while it's on if you're paying attention. But, you know, when you look at TV today, every commercial is about if you stumped your toe, if your heart is doing this, if you, it's all about medical issues. And after a while, you say, oh, Lord, they said if you had this and this. After a while, your mind gets to telling you you're sick and ain't nothing wrong with you. Every time the devil tell you, oh, yeah, you got heart problems, you got what your mama had, your deny it. Tell him what God said. God said, I am made whole in him. I ain't sick. I'm healed by the stripes. Tell him. And don't watch the TV so much because every commercial is about, do you take this medication? Well, if you take it, you're going to have these symptoms. Uh-uh. Get rid of the devil's plan. That's his plan. So the purpose for each child is, you know, God sent to the earth. He expects them to be born. Now, you say, well, God wouldn't send my child if they were like, yes, he will. Some people say, well, the doctor said that my child going to be a vegetable if he born. Don't you believe those evil reports? And so what? Let him be born. You're not to murder no baby. That's murder. Even if, I don't care what the doctor say. Believe in Dr. Jesus. He said, if you conceive it, I want it to be here. So, you know, God knows the thoughts he has towards you to give you a great future, to give your babies a good future, or give your grandchildren a great future. God says, I know the thoughts. Who has known the mind of the Lord or who has been his counselor? We as older women, according to Titus, you know, I talked about that a few minutes ago. God said, you know, I want you to be dedicated. And, you know, a lot of women not dedicated to God. They go to church and they still cussing at home, doing whatever. Some of them smoking weed. Some of them chipping up the bottle. They ain't dedicated to God. They go to church. They're full of religion. And then they, you know, they still doing their own thing. But God said, no, I want you to be dedicated to me, older women. And then I want you to teach the younger women not to gossip. So in order to teach them not to gossip, you can't gossip either. Say, did you hear it? No, we can't tell them that. So we got to be, we can't be addicted to alcohol, cigarettes, them little funny things, you know, dope, whatever. We got to be women of virtue, good example. And then that, you know, I'm telling you, many people, many young women, they already know. You don't even have to tell them. They say, she ain't right. You know, she ain't right. You know he ain't right. They be going to church. Them deacons ain't right. You know them elders in church. They ain't right. Those younger women know you can't fool them. Don't be trying to fool them. Young women, they got a sense from God. Many of them are full of the Spirit of God. So they already know by the Spirit of God. You ain't living right. The gifts are without repentance. God give you the gift. You know, some of those young women can prophesy. I met them on the street. They could tell you something about yourself. So we got to teach them how to be homemakers. Now, what's a homemaker? Most young women, they 25, 30, they ain't even know what a needle look like because we ain't taught them. We got to teach them what a needle, how to use a needle and thread. You don't have to throw the things away because the button came off. No, sew the button on. Go to Walmart, get some needle and thread. We got to teach. Look here. Clean your kitchen up. Clean, mop the floor. Sweep the floor. You know, do all of these things that we need to do. He said, we don't have time. Yeah, if we put all these things down, these distractions, we have time. Why are you talking to your friends? Wash your dishes. Mop your floor. Whatever it is you need to do, do it. So we could teach the younger women. We can invite them over and say, look here, baby, do you know how to make this? for your children? Do you know how to make this dish? What about cheese and potatoes? You know how to cook that? I'm going to show you. Do you know how to make macaroni and cheese? Do you know how to make good old hamburgers from scratch? Do you know how to make a baked chicken? Do you know how to make carrots and potatoes? And do you know how to make collard greens, mustard greens, all these vitamins that are in these spinach? Do you know how to make a salad? We got to teach them. That's how the older women did us. We got to teach them. If we don't teach them, they're not going to know how to do it. So as women of God, we have a huge responsibility. As men of God, we have a huge responsibility to teach the men, to teach the women, training and teaching our own babies, our children, the grandchildren, as Titus told us, you know, to do. Now, the ways of the world are coming into the church. When I was growing up, the older women didn't mind telling me, baby, that skirt a little bit short, honey, that's a little bit high. Go home and let the hem out and press it out and re-hem it. They didn't mind telling you. And they tell you they love you. That's love. See, people think love is, oh, sugar, I know it's short, but that's okay. God is gonna, you know, he gonna remember. God gonna forgive. Oh, no. The way we dress, low cut, in the front, high-rise skirts, tight pants, look like we poured into them. God is dealing with all these things. He said, I want you older women to show beauty by dressing a particular way, piety in your clothes, modest of dress, respectful, and not with these hairstyles that cost $100 and your baby over there eating a hot dog. No. Spend money on your children. Spend money in buying healthy food. Don't spend money on the outside. Put it on the inside. Then you won't have to be visiting the doctor because they're going to get the nutrients, and they ain't going to be coughing and sneezing and they runny nose, snotty nose, we used to call them. You're going to be taken care of them. So when the coronavirus comes, they're going to be healthy. Their immune system is going to be healthy, and yours too. So he said, listen here, this is how I want you to do. You don't have to go out there and spend $200 buying a weave. No, take care of your own hair. I gave it to you. The way you take care of your husband and your families and your children, these are the things that I want you to teach the younger women, the amount of time you spend in the presence of God. So teach them how to pray. Teach them how, he said, you know, spend time with the Lord. And then show them with a good attitude. Don't be putting the young women down. You ought to know that. No. Teach them with love and kindness. God drew us with love and kindness. Draw them with love and kindness. And then the way they, you know, the way they, we got to reject the world's ways. We have to reject the world's ways and pick up God's ways. The way we dress, the way we, you know, eat, it's a difference. You don't have to be going to the doctor all the time if you eat right. You say, oh, why? I was so hungry, I just had to pass by McDonald's to get me a hamburger. You know them hamburgers ain't no good for you. If you leave one on the counter for 2 weeks, it ain't going to change. Ain't going to even get rotten. So you know that's not good to put in your body. Try it. Fast food, that's just a belly filler. So we got to teach the younger women to say and do what God wants them to do. And, you know, there's a saying, the world's way says, we're consenting adults. You can sleep around if you want. That's what the world says. And, you know, if they get pregnant, they can abort the baby. These are some of the things that the world teach them. They say, you know, you can worship false gods if you want. So what? Don't worry about the only true God. The world says that you can have addiction to alcohol, drugs, sex, food, Facebook, TV, pornography, abortion. Abortion, you can terminate your baby. What's wrong with that? That's your body. Who can tell you how to have your own, what to do with your own body? No, we can't do it. We cannot do it. So these are some lies that people tell. Say, you know, number one, you can get pregnant. You cannot get pregnant if you're breastfeeding. So a lot of these young women and young men, they hear all of these lies. That's lie number one. Lie number two, You can't get pregnant during your period. That's lie number three. You can't get pregnant the first time you have sex. That's lie number three. Lie number four. You won't get pregnant if you go to the loo straight after sex. Go to the toilet. Number five. Your fertility nosedive is at age 35. In other words, you know, you don't have to worry too much after 35 about getting pregnant. Lie number six, you need to take a break from the pill every so often. Lie number seven, emergency contraception has to be used the day after unprotected sex. Lie number eight, long-term use of contraceptives cause infertility. The message title is, let's save our babies from destruction. They are part of God's kingdom too. As women of God, as men of God, we must help save the children of God that God is sending to the earth realm. We got to spread the word. Look, that your body don't belong to you. It belongs to God. Maybe your child, your grandchild is birthing the future David, musician, giant killer, the future Moses, save people from destruction, the future Martin Luther King. Maybe they have a dream on the inside of them. The future apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, to prepare God's people to serve, to build the body of Christ until we all become one, united in Christ, maturing until we all come to the measure, the stature, the fullness of Christ. You know the scriptures. So what we're going to do, we have to teach and tell the good news. If we looking at bad news all the time, how are we going to tell the good news? So I'm getting ready to unmute the phone. You can, you know, make comments. You can, you know, maybe God told you something that he wants us to know. Yeah, you know the title message, the message title for today. So we cannot. You know, time is short. We got to save our babies from destruction, just like they did during the time of Moses. So state your name, make your comments. I heard somebody talking.
It was me, Rhonda.
Hello.
Hello.
Go ahead, Rhonda.
It was me. Just the thought of everything that is taking, place in the earth today, and how we are still dealing with the same struggles from of old, because the word says there is nothing new under the sun. And if we just turn back to the things of God, we have to cut out a lot of issues that are going on in our lives as believers. And like you were saying, we do have to cut out the fornication, the drinking, all of that stuff, everything that is of the world, we need to cut it out. Because if you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, God is calling us to be in a different arena of life. He's not expecting us to walk the way of the world. He wants us to turn away from the things of the world and follow hard after him. So one night, one morning around 5:35, I was having a dream. At least I thought it was a dream. I heard three distinctive knocks at the door. I lifted my head up off the pillow, and I waited. No doorbell, not another person waiting or nothing while I was listening. And it was 5:55 in the morning. And as I began to just sit there and contemplate the knocks. It was three distinctive knocks. And I started thinking about the Father, the Spirit, the Son. And it brought me to Revelation 3:20. And Revelation 3:20 says, look, I am standing at the door and knocking. If anyone listens to my voice and open the door, I will come in and we will eat together. I will allow everyone who wins the victory to sit with me on my throne.
as I have won the victory and have sat down with my Father on his throne. Let the person who has ears listen to what the Spirit says to the churches. I read that out of the Good Word. But it's basically saying God is at the door knocking. We see all this stuff taking place. It's time for the church, the body of Christ, to line up and follow hard after God. That's all I had to say.
Amen. Thank you so much. Awesome comments. All right. Thanks. Yeah, I've had that happen to me before where I hear the doorbell ringing. It'd be like 4 or 5 in the morning. I'm like, look out. There's nobody there. God's waking me up to pray. I'm like, okay, Lord, I hear you. He wants my attention for something. I said, ooh, thinking there's somebody at the door. It's happened to me many times. I get up and go, hey, nobody at the door. I said, okay, God, you're waking me up. Tell me, talk to your Father. He will talk to you. Yeah. Amen. Thank you. Who else? State your name and comment, sharing, whatever.
Go ahead,
y'all.
This is Sister Lady. I was just thinking about women's ministries in our churches, and I know that most of our churches are not fully functional as they used to be, but even with virtual and conference calls like we're having now, things still can be taught if we take that responsibility. The responsibility of Titus 2, the Christian women, God gave women the mission of training up, teaching the young ladies how to love their husband, take care of their children. And it was just really huge how you broke down simple things such as cooking for your family, sweeping the floor, cleaning up, you know. A lot of our families now have older children who are at home with children, like a mother that have 2 grown children at home. One daughter got 2 kids, some of them may have. Their grown children are living at home with their parents, and the grandparents are doing most of the raising of the children, and the young people are still going out to make more babies and come back to the house for the parents to take care of the children. I was thinking, what about the possibility of women's ministry coming up with some things at church to just tell them the value of learning how to cook and clean, because these girls will eventually, they get married and have a family, they won't know how to cook, they won't know how to clean. And how would that affect the marriage? Then the marriage blows up because the man says, my mama, I can't live with no man in a dirty house. My mama didn't have a dirty house. And he's right. But the mother never gave the girl responsibility in the home. Even these little kids, elementary, middle school, high school, parents who have children at home under 18, if they would apply them chores to do, like you say, spend time with them, take them to the kitchen and show them how to make macaroni and cheese. Let them vacuum the floor sometime. Let them do some dusting. Give some household chores in the family. And I'm thinking about, that seemed like a simple thing, but I don't think it's been done, because children are so, they have this, for lack of a better word, they have this welfare mentality. Everybody owes me something for nothing. I deserve, just give me everything I need, instead of them putting their hands on the plow and applying some strength and energy and some effort to taking care of themselves, sweeping your room, washing the dishes. How many families do that, have children doing chores now? I just wonder. I wonder if I took a survey with some of the women that's on a prayer line with me on another group and asked them how many of you have teenagers at home, how many of you have given them chores that they do regularly every day. It's going to affect how they be a wife. It's going to affect how they be a mother. That was huge, Miss G. Simple things like knowing how to cook, knowing how to clean. That's rich.
Amen.
And our families have
made part of
our black culture that we want to live like our clear brothers and sisters, where their children have born with a silver spoon in their mouth. Most of us have to come up by our bootstraps. But our children don't. We say, I'm not going to let my child go through that. That's what we say. But we're not teaching them. We're handing them everything. They won't know how to appreciate nothing.
Yeah.
I think this
Thank
is
you so much. Well, who else want to share? Thank you.
Sister G.
Sister Mary, you want to share?
Yeah. Just a quick thing of how Black people have bought into so much of the stuff around us, the society. And yes, it has been great deception, but people are kind of volunteering for some of this crazy stuff that's being told to us and we're believing. And I'm talking about the whole abortion industry. Slavery time, they wanted us to have babies, you know, for their own purposes. But we got so, some folks would call it high tone, that we must abort our babies because we have to go to school or we can't afford, all of that. I stood out on the abortion, the lines at the abortion clinic for years. And I also took my little daughters out there and my husband to go and pray for the mothers that were going into the abortion clinic. Because we knew that if they went in, those babies were not going to come out alive. And this is just another one of Satan's tricks to keep things from coming, the praise of the Lord from coming from the mouths of babes and children. And it's just been a constant battle. And so I'm just praying that as a race of people, we're going to get a clue quickly because so much has been taught to us and we've embraced it and allowed it when it is the purpose of Satan to keep our children especially, from being born.
Amen.
Anything to thwart the plan of the Lord.
They
want to
get rid of a whole generation of people. Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else? Let's save our babies from destruction. They are part of God's kingdom, too. You know, what it is they want to abort the baby's destiny. And see, God has destined children for greatness. Every child, you included, born for greatness, to do what God has instructed. God put instructions on the inside of all of us. And we have to discover what they are and bring them forth. I don't care if you're 9 or 90. You have a purpose. God wants that to come forth. Anybody else? All right. Well, we're going to be praying for those in special prayer for those who were affected by Hurricane Katrina, Ida. Remember I was telling you Sister Glory Dean couldn't come on today because they're traveling, no electricity, et cetera. And Sister Vivian couldn't come on because same thing, they had to go out of town. Many people are out of town because they have no electricity. And the winds were high. They said it wasn't as much flooding, but electricity. So, and it's you know, as far as I know, it's hot there. So I'm going to ask Brother Brian if he will lead in a prayer. It don't have to be that long, but just hit the points of, you know, that God show you need to be prayed for the people that were affected by Hurricane Ida. Okay, Brother Brian.
Yes, ma'am. All right, let's do it, everyone.
Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. I thank you for this time. We thank you for all that you are doing here, God, in our lives and in the earth. Right now, we pray for everyone that's affected by Hurricane Ida, God. We pray that you will continue to protect those that are there, God, that those people that are suffering, those that are crying out for your help, God. We know that you have the power to do any and everything that you desire, God, and we ask that you would desire to keep them protected, keep them clothed, keep them safe, God, and keep their minds, God, keep their hearts at this time as they go through these things, God. We know that you will bring them out as you always have, that you continue to protect those like you've always done, and that you continue to lead them out according to your will and your desires, God. We know that you have a purpose for each and every person that's in there. Sister G has said that you have called everyone on this earth for a reason, and we know that that reason is still needs to be fulfilled, God. And we know that you have your hand over them because they still have things that they have to achieve, and we know that you're going to do all of these things safely, God. We pray for all of those that are affected by that, God, all of the family members that are worried for them, God. I pray that if they have not reached out to them, that you will give them a way to do so, God, to let them know that they're safe, to let them know that they're sound, and to let them know that you have kept them, God. We thank you for all of these things, God, and we pray for even for the children, God, that are in those situations right now, those that are crying out for help. We pray that you will help them as well, God, that you continue to give them hope, give them strength, and give them joy, God, in this situation, God, knowing that everything will be okay. We love you, God, and we thank you for all of these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Brian. I want to tell you, we were talking about training up the younger women and younger men. God had told me when I lived in New Orleans, together, young girls together from 12 to, you know, 20-something. So I go to churches, and then some of them will bring their friends, and they would come to my house. And God said, I want you to teach them how to cook, how to sew, and my ways. So I would prepare lessons for them, interesting lessons about, you know, the Bible and about Bible characters. And sometimes I'd have to put on outfits that would get their attention, you know, like, you know, how Jesus, you know, like parables and different ways of, and then I would, after I would, you know, teach them lessons, and I would, you know, teach them going in my kitchen, and we would cook. I would, you know, we would cook all kind of meals. It may be something quick, maybe hamburgers. We had sometimes baked potatoes. Sometimes we would have different vegetables and salads and fruits. And so, I mean, I did that for quite a few years, and then I came to Jacksonville and did the same thing. Sometimes they come to my house. Sometimes we meet in churches. But there will be children from all walks of life. And I met one of my spiritual daughters. I was in a Family Dollar, a Dollar Tree one time. And the Lord said, pray with that lady over there. I prayed with the lady. And then her granddaughter came up. And come to find that the child ended up staying. The child was 16 years old, 14, I think, when I met her. And her grandmother would bring her to the Holy Ghost Girls is what we would call. And then eventually she stayed with me for about 4 months. And it sounds kind of cool, but she would say, I'm hungry. I would take her to the grocery store. We would buy what she needed. And I said, okay, well, you better get in there and cook. She didn't know how to cook, so I'd teach you how to cook. I cook food. She said, ooh, that smells good. I want some. I'm like, nope, you can't have none of mine. It forced her to cook. I said, come on, you bought this? I'm going to show you how to cook that. You bought that? I'm going to show you how to cook that. And one time I made this homemade soup, and about a month or two later, she made it. Hers was better than mine because she had learned some things from me. She said, well, her, you know, different people in her family, mother, grandmama, they didn't let her wash dishes. They didn't let her cook. But sometimes, in the church, it don't work out. Some churches, they wouldn't let me have a group of girls. So I bring them to my house. I would bring them here. I'd go to the grocery store out of my own pocket. I said, well, you know, I could do without this. I'll take money out of my pocket, go and buy food, and teach them how to cook and how to sew. And you say, well, coronavirus is out here. Well, you know, I went to a church not long ago. They took that little thing, checked everybody's temperature. Nobody had one. You can do all kind of ways now. You can get around the devil's tactics and teach girls. You don't have to have them spend the night at your house. Maybe you can have them in, you know, in your yard and you know, bring a little stove, whatever. You know, be creative about it. And sometimes the you know, people used to ask me, well, what about the boys? But at that time, God didn't call me for the boys. But later on, he did at this one church. It was a private school. The boys used to come. I used to teach them how to cook and how to sew. They learned how. They could sew better than the girls. So they would thread the needle, make pillows for their parents, all kinds of things. So there are all kinds of ways that we can do. Even I meet girls on the street. And sometimes God said, go pray with that young lady right there. Go pray with that young man right there. So it's not just in the church that we have to do a work for the Lord. You know, Moses, he was up on the mountain, and God said, I want you to go in Pharaoh's house. I want you to go in the king's house and tell him. So, you know, we got to do what we got to do. We got to say, Lord, I know what you told me to do, but I ain't know how to do it. Tell me how to do it, Father. He's going to give you some creative ways. Don't worry. Anybody else want to share? We're going to be praying for our babies in a few minutes. Thank God, baby Chloe's mother's on here with us today. We thank God. And, oh, my God, God has done miraculous things for baby Chloe, baby Zoe, baby Kaiser, and baby Revere. So we thank God for the mothers and the fathers who are, you know, I know it can be tiring sometimes. You know, she has to take baby to the hospital back and forth, but God is, and now baby Chloe is almost a year and a half if she's not already. So we thank God for her. We're going to be praying for families as well. So we need one more person to volunteer a short prayer for those who are in Hurricane Ida, who was affected by that. Who want to pray for that?
This is Sister Marion. I'll pray for it.
Thank you.
Heavenly Father, right now I come before you, just give you praise, just thank you and to honor you right now, Lord God. I pray for all those that were affected by Hurricane Ida, Lord God, in New Orleans, Lord Jesus. You know the all by name and by number. You know what they come in need of right now, Lord God. You are God to supply all of our needs, not some, but all. And you, dear God, I know will take care of your people because you always have taken care of us. You say we will not lack for anything right now, Lord God. Help those right now, Lord God, those that lost family members. Help them, strengthen them, Lord God, to know that loved ones in a better place right now, Lord God. Dear Lord, help us to be helped to help other people. Just because we're not there, let us still send whatever help we can to help them right now, Lord God. Lord, bless them in a mighty way, Lord God. Strengthen them where they can rebuild right now, Lord God, and that your temple will be still standing and the people will come to you, Lord God, and thank you for bringing them through. Right now, I praise your holy name, Lord God. I bless you and I thank you in no other name but your son Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Now, you know, Esther usually come on with us, Esther Collins. She has been under the weather and going back and forth to the doctor, but she also was affected by Hurricane Ida. She and her family is out of town in Florida somewhere. So can you include her, the next person who prays, include Esther in your prayers for healing and safety, and also thank God for the baby and also baby Chloe's grandfather. He has been on his bed of affliction, but we're thanking God for his healing as well. So anybody want to pray for that prayer request?
Yes, I'll pray. Dear Heavenly Father, you know the babies that we've been praying for, Chloe and Zoe and Kaiser and Revere. Lord, we just thank you for the testimony of these three children who have been brought into the world, and we are just so grateful that you are taking care of them and healing them. And Lord, we're just excited to see each day what you have planned for these babies. We thank you, Lord, for their parents who have accepted and rejoiced in the responsibility of raising these children. We thank you, Lord, that they have birthed up as well as you are daily seeing to their needs. I just lift up Miss Lou and her husband as the traffic back and forth and the parents of the other children. Lord, lead them. Provide for them. Keep them as a family to be able to do the work that you have for them to do. We just praise your name and thank you, Lord. We thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Mary. We appreciate you.
All right, we're going to close out. Does anybody else want to add anything, request anything, say anything?
All right. Well, I thank God for you. I love each of you. You know God loves you so much. Have a God-filled day, a God-filled week. I'm going to ask Minister Laney if she would give us a closing prayer. Thank you for all of you for coming back on. We appreciate you. God loves you so much. Thank you, Sister Laney, for the closing prayer.
Amen. Praise God. Let us pray. God, in the name of Jesus, so love you and just so blessed to call you Father again. In your presence, we are humbled to know that you love us so completely. You know everything about us, and you still love us. And you gave us here with purpose, and we're still discovering all the things you've designed our hands to do. We're so honored and humbled that you would use us. God, we lift up all the extensions of us where we serve in our homes, and serve our families on our jobs, and our communities, and our churches. We just ask for universal blessings out to all of them because we are in it, you are in it with us, and it's blessed in Jesus' name. Everything that's not what it ought to be, we pray, God, that by the power of the Holy Spirit and revelation knowledge that you will expose it through wisdom and help us to get better. And we thank you, God, for this sharing today. Thank you for Sister G, our leader. Bless her even the more, God, to continue to shower with wisdom and understanding that she can share it free with us. Bless everyone on the line, and we just submit ourselves to you. We bring our sisters and brothers alongside as we say, you get all the glory, and you are already the power and the glory in all of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Love you. I'll talk to you next Wednesday, if not before. Love you, love you, love you.
Thank you.
Bye.